Welcome to the podcast of the preaching ministry of Life Point Church. We pray this ministry is a blessing for your life. For more information about Life Point, please visit lifepointozark.com.
As I mentioned, my name is John Goines. I do get the privilege of serving as an elder here at Life Point Church. It is a joy to be able to share with you this morning. And my prayer for us this morning is that this service, this time together in God's Word and singing His praises, would be a blessing and an encouragement for you. It is such a thrill to be able to gather together and share in God's Word. Amen. Right on. Now, it's that time of year again. As some of you know, and the rest of you are about to find out, I love this time of year. It's Christmas. Whoever invented Advent is my favorite. I love this. We enter this time of year where we celebrate that God's glory has been revealed to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. We have an offering of peace between God and men. Emmanuel, God, who is with us. Yes. And I like all the stuff that comes with Christmas, the lights and the family time and the trees. We could use a few more trees in our home, but they're up and we're rocking those. Thanksgiving is delicious. It's great. The turkey, the casseroles are now nestled all snug in their freezers. And the Chiefs pulled something out yesterday or Friday. But it's time to get serious. It's Christmas time. I love it. We're going to get popping here, celebrating the light that has come from heaven to save us. And we're going old school this morning. We're in the Old Testament. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, we are in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Very old school. We're going to be looking at verses 2 through 7 this morning. Now, Isaiah, this is an interesting book. The vision of God given to Isaiah was meant to prepare God's people for His kingdom in a unique way. They had received through the prophet Isaiah some pretty bad news about a threat from a distant kingdom that was, frankly, there were a lot of words of discomfort coming from the prophet Isaiah. At this point in their history, the people of Israel were about to experience God's judgment against their sin. This would come through an invasion of their kingdom, and they were about to lose big. And that's where God's word comes through the prophet Isaiah. And as you read the book, it is both a word of warning to the people, but it's also a message of hope. God's people, as we are prone to do, had walked away from God. They had abandoned obedience and embraced their sin. It's not too difficult to imagine that in the midst of darkness, they would be tempted to doubt the goodness of God, considering the words that Isaiah had spoken to them. And what do we do with God? What do we do with God when we're confronted by the absolute devastation born from our sin? That's what the Israelite people were facing. Where do we go when God's judgment becomes our reality? They were reckoning with this in Isaiah's time. It's not a happy time. In fact, it's characterized in our verses this morning by darkness. God was teaching His people a very difficult lesson. The lesson is that His glory, His kindness, His love, His sovereignty, His mercy, these exist in accordance with His judgment against sin. And that's what this book deals with. both God's judgment against sin, but again, his promise of salvation rings clear through the words of the prophet Isaiah. This was given as a kindness to the people of Israel and also a warning. But let's look at our text this morning. We're in verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So my prayer for us this morning as we consider God's word through the prophet of Isaiah is that we would fully believe that Jesus is the promised offering of God for the salvation of his people, and he is the only hope for the world. Jesus is the child. That's a spoiler because we don't get to talk about that till the New Testament, but I'm just giving you a heads up. Jesus is the Messiah that Isaiah proclaimed to God's people. He is the fulcrum upon which rests God's judgment and his mercy in his kingdom. Jesus is the child that is born and the son that is given. And as we try to discern God's word this morning, we're going to consider three promises about the child that guide our faith for all of life. And the first promise we see about this child is that, one, he is our hope, and his kingdom is awesome. I mean, notice here, God's word describes the people as those who walked in darkness, and it even says that they dwell in deep darkness. And there's a sharp contrast that Isaiah brings between the state of man and what God has revealed to him in revealed to men in his promise. Now we know, Paul teaches us in the book of Romans, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All are in a state of darkness and separation from God. But God promises to bring light to the darkness. Light in darkness is life and hope for those who are lost. And it's important for us to remember, at the time of this vision, it concerned things that were going to happen for the Israelites. In fact, there's a lot of interesting language used here where Isaiah addresses the people of his day. He speaks about them as if the darkness that they walked and dwelt in was something they experienced in the past. So he's using past tense versions of the verbs, and the light was something that was happening to them in their present, happening now, all while clearly prophesying about things that were going to happen in the future. If you're confused by that, we're on the same team. I struggle with that too. But what God was doing was preparing his people to trust that the future promises he was making were as sure as if they had already happened. and were a present reality for what they were about to face. God does not change. His word, his promises are the same. The light shining in the darkness that we see in our text, it was still hundreds of years before it was going to be fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. But God had not forgotten his people. And he would not forget his people, even though they were about to experience some really bad things. Other kingdoms would prevail over God's people for a time. But those kingdoms would be of no threat to the true sovereign God. The promise of darkness giving way to the light in God's kingdom is a promise for all who have been faced with the overwhelming darkness of life. For any who have been brought to the end of what we can handle, God's promise of light is for us who wrestle under the weight of the reality of sin. And here, God promised his people that in the midst of their darkness, he has a better kingdom prepared. A kingdom where darkness has no dominion. A kingdom where evil finds no quarter. A kingdom where the oppression of sin and evil are consumed in peace among those whom God is pleased. Luke 2 tells us that. A kingdom that has no end. A kingdom governed by his Son, upheld with justice and righteousness and peace. Do you long for peace in your life? Are you constantly searching for something to satisfy your soul? Are you looking for hope as you wake up each morning? Isaiah is telling us, look to the child, look to the son, look to the promise that God has made for his people, look to Jesus. His salvation is sure and his kingdom is awesome. It is a kingdom where God dwells with his people in eternal light, upheld by his powerful word. God promised that the child, the son, would make a way for us to know life with him in his kingdom. A kingdom where we believe what life can be is not only realized, but God, through his amazing grace and love, exceeds what we can fathom and exceeds our expectation. In fact, awesome seems like too small of a word here. We cannot fathom what life with God in his kingdom will be like, but we have a great hope because of the promise that God has given us. And what are we to do with this hope, this news that we've heard? How do we respond to the word of God through Isaiah? I mean, this was written to people thousands of years ago, thousands of miles away, a people who were about to be conquered. But God promises to save his people. And one characteristic of his kingdom is that it is an eternal kingdom. There will be no end. God and his promise of hope and life transcends all cultures, transcends all times and events in history. The same promise that the Israelites cling to is the same promise we have today, a promise of hope in Jesus Christ. Now, we have the great fortune of being able to read God's word through the lens of history, and we know of Christ's birth. And we are no stranger to darkness in our day and time and in our world. We're no stranger to darkness here in Ozark. In fact, I'm not naive enough to believe that there aren't some here today who are struggling and laboring through darkness and confusion in their lives. We know the light has come. God, the Son, came as a child born in Bethlehem to a virgin mother, conceived by the Holy Spirit, fully God, fully man, to declare the kingdom of heaven and salvation is at hand. The light has come to the darkness. That was the promise given to the people of Israel. That was the hope in hard times that they were offered. The promised child, the Son who was laid in a manger. And this is the same hope that we share and celebrate today, the hope we have in Jesus. And so we live and we wait in hope as well, wrestling with darkness. But we remain in the light of his revelation through his word and through his son, Jesus. We believe that Jesus is our salvation, and we repent from our sin to walk in obedience to him. This is our hope. Where do you find hope this morning? Do you wake up each day barely hanging on? Do you struggle to believe that God is with you? Or do you believe that he has removed himself from you, that he is distant? God has not forgotten you. God is near to you. God knew the situations that his people would face, the darkness that they were about to walk into, and he reminded them that he was with them. God has revealed himself to us through his word, and through his son, Jesus. So we look fully at Jesus for our hope in life. God's promised child. Take heart, friends. Christ has come. The light that cannot be overcome by darkness. The second promise that we see in our text today, that we see about the child who is born, the son who is given. Promise number two, he is trustworthy and incorruptible. This is important because the text we are reading is a promise. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Again, this particular passage is one of hope set against the backdrop of dark times for God's people. God foreshadows his coming Messiah about 700-ish years before the events of the New Testament, before Christ is born. But a significant theological point is made here in our text. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The announcement, the word of God, spoke of a child who would be a son, fully flesh, fully divine. This is of great significance because of what we know about promises, especially when it comes to the hope that promises bring for us. Promises are only as good as the one who makes them. And what we know from the whole of Scripture, through God's revelation to us, is that no one is good except God alone. That's Jesus' testimony in Mark chapter 10, verse 18. God is good. This child, God's son, is the only one who is worthy of our worship. He is trustworthy. He is the only one who perfectly hears the cries and prayers of his people, and he rescues them from their distress. He is the only one who fully knows of our need for him, and for our need to repent and believe in his word, and he beckons us with kindness to turn to him. He is the voice that gives lives to our souls, that knits us together, heart, soul, mind, and body. He knits us together in our mother's womb. He is the good shepherd who came to lay down his life for his people, for his sheep. He is a man of sorrows who alone can bear the weight of our sin and triumph victorious over sin and death. He is the Word of God who became flesh, through whom all things were created. He is love that condescends in humility to serve and not be served. He is perfect knowledge and wisdom that leads and guides us in the light of His Word. He is the great physician who cares for the sick. He is the closest friend and brother who knows in intimate detail everything about our lives. He is near to us, even when we walk in darkness or through the valley of the shadow of death. He is our comfort, our protection, our refuge. He is our rest and our joy. He is the sovereign ruler over all things who will bring to completion His work in history for the salvation of His people and for His glory and good pleasure. He is our greatest good. Rejoice, our text tells us. This is Jesus, the child, God's only begotten Son. And our text tells us that He would be known by some interesting names. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What can we learn from these names given to this child? We can learn that this child is trustworthy and his nature is incorruptible. What God has promised in His Word, the Son who is given, God has delivered in Jesus. The promise is as good as the one who made it. Why can we trust Him? Well, He is our Wonderful Counselor. It's God's majesty displayed by His works. In Him there is no darkness at all. He is not altered by some outside force. Another way of saying this is God does not receive counsel and change. He acts according to His nature and His character. He reveals His counsel to us, and we receive it as life-giving. He is the mighty God, the one true God. Genesis 3 has revealed to us that our sin has deceived us to believe that we can overthrow Him as God. That's the great temptation of Satan in Genesis chapter 3. You can be like God. Okay, see how that works out. But we have no adequate response to God's power. We have no power in and of ourselves to satisfy His demand for justice against sin. We cannot save ourselves. He is holy, and His rule is not in jeopardy by some opposing force. There is none mightier than our God. What He says and wills are what He does. He will judge our sins, but we have a promise. He will save His people through His Son, Jesus. He is a mighty God, making possible the impossible on our behalf. He is the eternal Father. He is the first word and final say on all things. He gives good gifts to His children. He is a steadfast and constant presence in their lives. His discipline is carried out in love, and it produces the fruit of righteousness, the peaceful fruit of righteousness. He invites us to himself as his children, and nothing can separate us from his love. He is a good father, the eternal father. He is the Prince of Peace. In his kingdom, there is no shadow of turmoil. There is no uncertainty in his presence. We as sinners have waged war against a holy God through our disobedience to his word. And he waits patiently with us to bring our conflict to an end. He does not act from a defensive posture. He is not threatened or fearful. He merely executes his plan of salvation for his people. The child, the son who was given, is the instrument of peace between God and man. That was the declaration of the angels at Christ's birth. So friends, when hope flickers or fades, when the condemnation of sin and God's judgment is weighing heavy on your heart and knocking at your door, when the confusion of life breeds fear in your heart, when chaos threatens the foundations of your being, trust God. He is incorruptible. He is your wonderful counselor. He is your mighty God. He is your heavenly Father and Prince of Peace. And as we wait for the final revelation of God's kingdom to be fully revealed to us through his Son Jesus, we have hope in a trustworthy and incorruptible God. We have assurance in who he is. And this reminds us of our third and final promise that we will consider this morning about the child who is given, the Son of God. He is the final consummation of our longing. All of us long for something greater. That is one of the effects of sin in our lives. We look around at the world and we see something has broken. And so our hope, by definition, expects to be consumed by something greater, something better. That's what hope is. It's longing for something greater than itself to come and fill us. As I mentioned, I do love this time of year. And one of the things I enjoy is the gifts. I do enjoy both giving and receiving gifts, I'll be honest with you. And it brings to mind a question. What gifts are consuming your minds right now? As we prepare for the Christmas holiday, what excitement is building in your heart? Now, we try, and imperfectly most of the time, to remind our kids in our homes the reason in our home, we only have one home, sorry. We try to remind them why we give gifts and why we celebrate this time of year. Our text this morning is why we celebrate. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. My prayer for us as a people is we prepare our hearts and homes for Christmas, that we would not get lost in the activity, but that we would find our foundation for the joy and celebration in the child who was given to us as a Savior. The testimony of Jesus Christ is he is a gift given to us in sweet, amazing grace. Even while we are enemies with God, even when we hide in our darkness, Christ came to shine the light of hope and life in our world. Christ came as an offering to satisfy God's judgment against our sin. If you look at our text, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God's gift of his Son was not an afterthought. God's not rushing out to Penny's on Christmas Eve to make sure Aunt Martha gets her favorite whatever. God's zeal suggests that God not only wanted to offer his Son Jesus, but that he was eager, anxious, desirous to give us this gift. And our hope is not in vain. It has the full substance and force of God's zeal that he will bring salvation to completion. Our hope is rightly consumed in Jesus, in the child who is born, the son who is given. And our hope is only rightly consumed in Jesus. He is the something greater that our lives are longing for. He comes. He offers us access in his kingdom to those who would hear and believe his word, who would repent and turn away from sin and trust God for all of life and believe that Jesus was the Son of God, the payment for our sin given to us. He lived a perfect life in full agreement and fulfillment of God's law. He died on the cross, taking our place as a penalty for sin. And he rose from the grave victorious, giving us life in him. God is a cheerful giver. How do we respond to this gift? What can we offer the Lord for the blessings that he has poured out on us? We walk in hope. We walk trusting the Lord in all situations and circumstances and time. We are not cowed by darkness. The light of God has shone. And we strive to live in obedience to God's word each and every day by the power of his Spirit living in us. Even when the darkness gets deeper, we trust him. And we are reminded by our word this morning that we rejoice and spread the light of God's love to this world. And we receive this wonderful gift by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I do want to take a moment this morning. If you are here, and for the first time, the Holy Spirit is stirring in your heart about this child, this promised Son of God. If he is stirring in your heart about Jesus, you have heard the testimony of God's word this morning. The testimony about his salvation and his promise to protect us and redeem us from his judgment against sin and death. You have heard the prophecy given through Isaiah of hope for your life, that God has made a way through his Son to give you life. Your ears have heard about Jesus. And so I ask, believe God's word. Believe his promise through his Son Jesus Christ this morning. Repent from the sins that you may or may not be aware of, and trust God's life-giving grace to walk in obedience to him. Receive this amazing grace this morning as we prepare our hearts to celebrate that Christ has come this time of year. Jesus is the promised offering of God for salvation, and He is the only hope for our world. If this is your prayer this morning, if you have any other needs this morning, there'll be an elder down front after the service, and we would love to pray with you and minister to you in whichever way we can. We just want to give you this opportunity to respond to the word of the Lord this morning and trusting Jesus for your hope in life. Let's go to Him this morning in prayer.